ॐ सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विवादतीदमस्तु मा विद्विषो वहैः ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः. ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस् बोथ् द पर्सेप्टर् अण्ड् द डिसाइपल् मे ही नरिश अस् बोथ్ May we work together with great energy. May our study be rigorous and fruitful. May we not hate each other. Om, peace, peace, peace. Reading from Swami Nisheshananda's 1982 Atma Nivedana, November and December 1981 combined. What all religions teach. In the beginning, it is hard to believe that bodily and social conditions are in reality faithful transformations of our thought patterns. All of us differ widely in our capacity to undersubtle forces and their operation in the gross world outside. Each one of us, therefore, must devise ways of changing perspectives and widening awareness. Sooner or later, we shall all be convinced that plans and emotions duly appear in appropriate names, forms, and functions in the external world. Once we grasp this principle, we should never complain or fight against our circumstances. A fighting thought can condense only into a matching hostile environment. A peaceful attitude, on the contrary, must automatically at the right time result in a situation favoring peace. With this knowledge, we shall be alert at the first sign of unpleasantness in our bodily or social relations. We shall then promptly rearrange our objectives and reactions, even second by second. The harmony we expect to find in the outside world related to us, we shall diligently cultivate in our own internal world, in the field of concepts and attitude. In short, we shall, with proper understanding, overall in a methodical manner, our entire character. We shall not allow any discordant element to lurk in nooks and corners of our mind. We shall replace it with an attitude of all-embracive love and harmony. We shall accept this work or replacement as a delightful sport. In due course, as the practice proceeds, this new outlook will enter the habit level. In yogic language, we would achieve a samyama on it. Samyama involves three movements. First, selection of a value and dwelling upon it for a reasonable time. Secondly, repeating it lovingly till it behaves like a welcome guest without special effort at invitation. And lastly, it's becoming firm and permanently active at the habit level. The technical term for these are dharma, dhyana, and samadhi. When the process is mature, each ripening into the next and culminate in the habit level, there arises spiritual perfection or illumination, functioning like an external sun, unaffected by time. From this comes an inexhaustible shower of blessings. This, in essence, is what all the religions emphasize and point out as the goal for all. The word religions used to indicate this ideal is God. If from a person we change the significance into a quality, it means perfection in its fullness. Each time we utter this word, we must make certain adjustments inwardly. There must make our whole being aglow with supreme wonder and thankfulness. Heightening its sweetness and sublimity, there must prevail a spirit of wholehearted adoration. This intellectual understanding must be followed by patient and thorough discipline. We all know that an intellectual notion of what swimming is cannot be substituted for the actual acquisition of the skill to swim. Similar is the case with spiritual perfection. To my mind, effortlessly and delightfully poised in such perfection is the greatest of arts. Disciplines must continue as a welcome feature of daily life till illumination becomes a stable fact and stays as a timeless rapture of unbounded bliss. Unique love, another article. The material for this section is drawn from Swami Gambhiranandaji's authoritative book on the Holy Mother, Sri Sarada Devi. The mother's divine aspect is very well portrayed in this volume. This aspect was usually veiled. Its fragrance, nonetheless, entered into the hearts of the devotees and speeded them on their spiritual path. Here, we shall stress only her human side, full of unbounded love. It continuously expressed itself in endless acts of service to all around her. We cite just one example to show that even when her health had totally broken down, her motherly heart was overflowing with tenderness and understanding. One night, when Sarala Devi, the special attendant, took the diet to her, the mother petulantly refused to eat, saying, "You have only two sentences, mother eat and mother apply the stick, thermometer." Swami Sharadananda had to go up to smooth matters. The mother felt sorry for having troubled him. She made him sit by her side and pass his hand over her body a little and took some food from him. He had been desiring to do some personal service for her, but her shyness stood in the way. So this time, she gave him the needed chance. For a couple of days, Sarala Devi arranged for others to feed her and take her temperature, noting the mother called Sarala in. Placing Sarala's head on her own bosom, she said, "Are you angry with me, my daughter? Don't you mind, my dear, if I have said anything?" Sarala could say nothing. Tears welled up. Naturally, she resumed her service to the mother as before. To another weeping attendant, her last consolation was, "There is Sharad, Sharadananda. Don't be afraid." A week earlier, when Sharadananda had knelt by her side, the mother had held his right hand and said, "I leave them all, devotees, with you." The Swami suppressed his tears and left with a heavy heart, walking slowly backwards, keeping his eyes fixed on her, whose life was a blessing to all and still is. We close with a prayer. Kayena vacha manasa indriya vya buddhyotmana va prakrute svabhavat karomi adyat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayamim. Whatever I do, either by body, speech, mind, or sensory organs, either with my personal knowledge or natural trait, I surrender and submit all to that Supreme Divine, Narayana. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.